Thank you, Jesus. God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good. He's really, 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 really good. Thank you, Lord. Well, I don't know what the Lord's up to, but he got me up at 5:30 this morning, and I'm not an early riser. And I just could not go back to sleep till 7:30, and my alarm was set for that time. But I was just, I was laying there, and I was like kind of using more energy to try to go back to sleep than if I would just lay there and pray or do something for the Lord. So the Lord just had me praying. So I just believe he's going to do some really awesome, wonderful miracles, touch our lives today in a special way. Maybe he's just trying to tell me, hey, I want you up at 5:30 every morning from now on. So we're going to do a communion message today. We're going to be in Isaiah 53. I just thought it would be good to read all the way through Isaiah 53. Just simply read the scriptures, because there's no better description of what the Lord endured for us, what he did for us, all that he accomplished for us, and not only for us, but for the nations. It's such an awesome description of what he did for us in Isaiah 53. But we're going to actually start in Isaiah 52, verse 13, because that's where it starts. But I'm going to open up this message, actually, you don't have to turn there because you're familiar with it, with what Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 26. Paul says this. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." So what was going on in 1 Corinthians 11 in this chapter, when Paul's talking to the Corinthian church about the Lord's Supper, about receiving communion together, They had just made a total mess of receiving communion. They had made like a love feast out of it. They were bringing food. They were bringing drinks. Everything was out of order. Some people were eating all the food. Some people were getting no food. There was no unity. There was division there while they were doing it. It was supposed to be the Lord's Supper. So Paul is kind of correcting that. In the verses that we always read for communion, basically what he's saying is, look, this is what Jesus showed me. This is how Jesus instituted communion. This is what Jesus wanted you to remember and focus on when you were taking communion. Not to be partying and doing all kinds of other things and being distracted and being divided and not being in unity, but this is what he wants you to focus on. That's why he said, "I received from the Lord that which I'm going to deliver to you right now." So this is what we're supposed to do, focus on and remember when we receive communion together. "That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, because this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Plain and simple, right? We're supposed to remember that Jesus came in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. He took on a body in order to be the perfect sacrifice for us, to offer himself up. "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood.'" Jesus wanted us to focus on, he was signing and sealing the new covenant with his blood, because all covenants were sealed with blood, in the old covenant and the new covenant. It has to be sealed with blood and signed in blood. So Jesus was bringing us a much better, more awesome new covenant. He said, "This do, because as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So every time we receive his body and his blood, we're doing it to remember all that he went through on the cross, on his way to the cross, on the cross, through his body and his blood. But listen to this. Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." We focus on, you know, as Christians, we focus not just on the Lord's death, obviously, but on the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection, because that's the gospel. But Paul says when we're receiving communion, the main thing that we're proclaiming and declaring to the world, to each other and to God himself is that we're proclaiming we really understand what Jesus accomplished for us through his death, through his body and blood on the cross. Amen? The Lord's Supper or communion is a visible representation symbolizing the death of Christ for our sins. It's always for our sins, which we'll see that in Isaiah 53. During the communion service, we take time to focus on and remember what Jesus endured for our sins on the cross and what he accomplished for us through his body and blood as the Lamb of God. It reminds us of Christ's death, but it also reminds us of the glorious hope of his return. Because Paul said we're declaring his death until he comes again. So what we're doing, our participation in it, strengthens our faith through fellowship with Christ. We're actually fellowshipping with him and what he went through, and joining into what he went through with his through his body and blood, becoming one with him and the Father in the plan of salvation, you could say. And it also brings us closer with each other as believers in Christ. His death on the cross, as we know, was a violent, horrific death in itself. But remember this, no one took his life from him. He voluntarily gave his life up for us. He voluntarily took on a body and blood in order to sacrifice himself on the cross for us, for our sins, so we could have forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life, and live in an awesome, intimate relationship with God and him for all of eternity. John 10:17, Jesus said this, "Therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again." And did you ever think about this? Jesus had to die a violent death like that. Why did he have to die a violent death like that? Because he would have never died any other way. Do you know that? Jesus had no sin in him. He wouldn't have died. He would have lived forever. Because why do we die? Because of the law of sin and death. But Jesus had no sin in him. So he had to die. That's the way he had to die, to be, because that's a perfect sacrifice. He had to be a sacrifice for us. And, you know, the sacrificial lambs, you couldn't bring a lamb that was getting ready to die and present it. It had to be a perfect, healthy, new, young lamb that was perfectly healthy to be sacrificed. Jesus was sinless, perfect, the awesome Son of God. Isaiah 52, 13 through 15, and Isaiah chapter 53 tells us what Jesus endured for us on the way to the cross and on the cross so we could have our sins forgiven, be made righteous with God, be redeemed and reconciled back to God so that we could live with him for eternity. So let's just read through it now. We're going to start in Isaiah 52 in verse 13. I'll be reading from the Living Bible. It'll be a little bit different than what you're following along, but Isaiah 52, verse 13. The Lord says, "Look, my servant will succeed in what he has to do, and he will be raised to a position of high honor." We know that's exactly what happened with Jesus. "It is true that many were shocked when they saw him." Listen to this. This is how violent his death and his beating was. "He was beaten so badly that he no longer even looked like a man." That's how bad Jesus was beaten. That's a description Isaiah gave us. "But it is also true that many nations will be amazed at him. Kings will look at him and be unable to speak. They will see what they've never been told. They will understand what they never heard." Chapter 53. "But, oh, how few believe it. Who will listen? To whom will God reveal his saving power?" Aren't you glad that we listened? Aren't you glad that God revealed his saving power of his son Jesus to us? We've listened. We believe. Thank God for his saving power. "In God's eyes, he will be like a tender green shoot sprouting from a root in dry and sterile ground. But in our eyes, there was no attractiveness at all, nothing to make us want him. We despised him and rejected him, a man of sorrows, acquainted with bitterest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. When he went by, he was despised and we didn't care. Think of this. This is Isaiah prophesying this 400 years before the cross. It's like Isaiah was right there when Jesus was walking through the streets of Jerusalem trying to carry his own cross. And everybody was rejecting him and mocking him. He was right there. That's how accurate this prophecy is and the description of it. But he was wounded and bruised for our transgressions. He was beaten that we might have peace with God. He was whipped. He bore our stripes. By his stripes, we are healed. We, every one of us, have strayed away like sheep. We who left God's path to follow our own. Yet God laid on him the guilt and sins, the iniquities of every one of us. When Jesus died on that cross, he not only took all of our sins upon him, all of our transgressions, they use all three words in Isaiah, transgressions, sins, and iniquities. He took it all upon him. God made him who knew no sin to become sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him, right? But not only did he take our sin, you know what else he took? The full wrath of God. The full wrath of God was poured out upon Jesus so that we wouldn't have to experience the wrath of God for ourselves. Praise God. We know also that Galatians tells us that he took the curse. He became a curse himself. He bore the curse for us. Jesus is so awesome. He is so wonderful. His love is so amazing. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he never said a word. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he stood silent before the ones condemning him. From prison and trial, they led him away to his death. Amazing prophecy. 400 years before Jesus. He's right there at the trial, at the time they release him, the beating, the flogging, everything that they went through when they spit on him and pulled his beard out and smacked him and rejected him. That's what Jesus did for us. All because of our sins. That's how horrible sin was to God and is to God. That's why it had to be dealt with and had to be taken care of. And the only one who could take care of it for us was God in the flesh himself. Jesus is God in the flesh. But who among the people of that day realized it was their sins that he was dying for? That he was suffering their punishment? They didn't realize that then. But we know that now, right? Thank God we know that now. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his revelation and insight and revealing that to us, that he loved us so much that he made sure that we understood how to have forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life and to be filled with the Holy Spirit and have new life in Christ. It's not only a future blessings, but the blessings are poured out upon us right now. He was buried like a criminal, but in a rich man's grave. But he had done no wrong, and he had never even spoken one evil word. But it was the Lord's will. It was God's will. It was the Lord's good plan to bruise him and fill him with grief. God had planned all along that that's how he would save us, through his Son, Jesus Christ, that he would save us from our sins. However, listen to this. When his soul has been made an offering for sin, then he shall have a multitude of children, many heirs. Isn't that awesome? Because of what Jesus did, now God has a multitude of children. Aren't you glad that you're one of his children? That you're a child of God now? all because of what Jesus did, and that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus of everything that belongs to God. How awesome is that? He is so good. He is so good. Thank you, Jesus. He shall live again, the Living Bible says. And God's program will prosper in his hands. Jesus said it this way, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God's program, the gospel, God's program of salvation, God's plan of redemption and salvation will prosper in Jesus' hands. It always has and it always will. And it will continue to do that for all of eternity. Verse 11, and when he sees all that is accomplished by the anguish of his soul, thank God for this, he shall be satisfied. When Jesus rose from the grave, spent 40 days with his disciples, that ascended to heaven, and he's now at the right hand of the Father, he is satisfied. He's saying, yes, it was all worth it. Everything that I did to save my people was worth it. I'm satisfied. Thank God for this amazing plan, Father, that we came up with, that we covenanted together to do. It's amazing. Jesus is satisfied. He counted it all joy to suffer for us. And because of what he has experienced, my righteous servant shall make many to be counted righteous before God. For he shall bear their sins. Aren't you glad that we're righteous before God now? Not because of our works, not because of anything that we've done, except by grace through faith. We put our faith in Jesus and what he did for us through his body and blood on that cross, shedding his blood, dying on that cross for our sins. He bore all of our sins. Verse 12, therefore, I will give him the honors of one who is mighty and great because he poured out his soul unto death. What are we doing when we receive communion? Proclaiming the death, that we understand the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Until he comes, we're going to keep proclaiming what he did for us through his death on the cross, through his body and blood. He was counted as a sinner, and he bore the sins of many, and he pled with God for sinners. And guess what? He's still pleading to God. He's still at the right hand of the Father, pleading to God and interceding for us. Amen? Let's have the ushers go ahead and pass out the elements, the body and blood of Jesus. While they're passing that out, I'm going to read some of my favorite verses from Hebrews that, again, tell us what Jesus did for us through his body and blood and his death on the cross. Thank you, ma'am. In Hebrews, it tells us that only Jesus is, that Jesus is able to save, and only Jesus is able to save completely all who come to God through him. Since he will live forever, he will always be there to remind God that he has paid for their sins with his blood. Hallelujah. And remember, Jesus took his own blood into the Holy of Holies and put it on the mercy seat. And with it, he, by himself, made sure of our eternal salvation. Thank you, Jesus, for your body and for your blood. Thank you for taking that blood into the Holy of Holies, spreading it on the mercy seat. Thank you for taking care and making sure that we have eternal salvation. Jesus came once for all at the end of the age to put away the power of sin forever by dying for us. Isn't that awesome? Not only did he take care of the penalty of sin, but he put away the power of sin in our life by dying for us. And we know that he will eventually come and take us completely from the presence of sin. We won't even be in the presence. There will be no sin, no presence of evil or wickedness anymore, eventually. And so, dear brothers and sisters, now we can walk right into the very holy of holies where God is. because of the blood of Jesus. This is the fresh, new, life-giving way that Christ has opened for us by tearing the curtain, which is his human body, to let us into the holy presence of God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Again, Paul tells us, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's receive the body of the Lord together. Remember, by his stripes we are healed. As we sing and worship today, I just pray that the Holy Spirit will release all the spiritual blessings, all the physical healing, all the blessings that are ours because of what Jesus did for us through his body and blood. That we'll just receive a fresh touch of faith, a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit, that we'll just be filled afresh and new. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your body. Thank you for allowing your body to be broken and ripped open, that veil ripped wide open from top to bottom, so that we could come into the Holy of Holies and into the very presence of God. But we could not come in just by your body. It had to be by your body and your blood. The high priest could never go into the Holy of Holies without that blood of the sacrifice. But we thank you for your blood, the blood of the new covenant. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup right here is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's receive the precious blood of Jesus together. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, we declare, proclaim that we know what it cost you to purchase us back for the Father, to redeem us, to reconcile us back to him, to restore our relationship with him. And we're so grateful, Lord, that you have given us forgiveness of sins, made us righteous before God, and allowed us to come into his presence, filled us with the Holy Spirit, and now we can be in his presence 24/7 because of your body and your blood. You are so awesome. You are so wonderful. And Lord, there's so many other blessings and benefits because of what you've done for us. And may we receive them all, not only us, but those who are watching on Facebook and those who are receiving communion, those who are just in your presence today, Lord, in every church throughout America and throughout the world, Lord. May the Holy Spirit just be poured out. May you pour out your glory and your anointing and manifestations of the gifts. May there be healings and deliverances, salvations, healings, deliverances, releasing of gifts, releasing of ministry, equipping, Lord. Let there be a mighty work. And Lord, we pray for revival in the church in America today, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And you know, of course, whenever there was great salvation, great deliverance, there was always singing and rejoicing. And that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to worship the Lord and praise him and then still focus on what he's done for, and remember what he's done for us.